Hello, and welcome to the podcast series Ready, Set, Game, The Rhetoric of Games, a podcast created by Emory University students in David Morgan's Play, Make, Write, Think class.
Over the course of the series, we will approach games as operating within the larger media ecology and attempt to diagram the competing forces at work within that landscape.
In each episode, we will play and analyze a specific game with an eye toward its rhetorical situation and the role it plays within the broader medium.
We'll focus on the way these games encourage players to think in order to move through them and what sorts of decisions the games force us to make.
As we probe the underlying rules of game systems and speculate about what's going on underneath the hood, we'll ponder where they are taking us and to what ends.
How do these games encourage certain types of problem solving and learning? What sorts of values do they promote? What sorts of new perspectives do we gain in the playing?
So buckle up and come play with us.
You're in sixth grade, on a warm spring day after school. You and your friend are contestants in the Hunger Games. You're standing on a starting platform when the starting siren blares, and in a flash, you have to run full speed to get to the cornucopia. But you hesitate, and before long, all your useful items are gone. You take off at breakneck speed into the wilderness around you. You're scared and alone now, and your friend is nowhere to be seen. You stop, thinking, and breathe a sigh of relief. You know it's only a game. Welcome to the world of Minecraft.
Hi, I'm Winslow.
And I'm Michael. And today, we'll be taking a trip down memory lane. We'll be reflecting on one of our favorite games as kids, Minecraft. You've probably all heard of Minecraft, the open world game where you can collect resources, build armor and houses, and fulfill a fantasy of taking down monsters. It's well known for its simple pixelated graphics, ease of play, and broad appeal. Launched in 2009, even though it's an old game, it's still growing, reaching 480 million players in November 2019.
On Minecraft, there's a feature called servers that allows players to play on huge digital worlds where people can let their imaginations run free. For me, Minecraft was like a sandbox where I could create anything I wanted and play anything I wanted. Recently, Michael and I revisited one of our favorite games. We jumped back into the virtual world where we used to spend hours exploring. This was quite an experience for us. It brought back many memories bursting with nostalgia and allowed us to evaluate how the game has shaped our values and helped us grow as people and thinkers. So, I first started playing Minecraft back in sixth grade, and my good friend at the time, named Toby, actually introduced it to me. And once I started playing, I just could not stop. I was a very intense gamer. I would spend hours creating castles, jumping through parkour courses, and just fighting with other players in free-for-all. And what I think Minecraft helped me on as a kid was it really brought out some of my creativity in a way that I wasn't able to express, like, say, in a classroom or even like on a soccer field playing sports. And it showed me that world making and creating your own spaces within a form of media is really just another form of art. And it also helped me value my friendship with Toby even more, because that's how we bonded through playing the game. And we'd spend hours inside the game creating our own universes, essentially. And I even got my brother into the game as well, because he was an avid gamer as I was, and it was a very good bonding experience between me and him. So Michael, how does your experience compare to mine?
So unlike you, I was not as invested in the game as you were, but I would play occasionally with my friends who did love the game. My intentions when I would play with my friends was just to jump into a space to mess around and maybe create something with them, or just spend more time with them, because I grew up playing a lot of sports video games and sometimes my other friends didn't, so this was a way that I could connect with them through video games. So sometimes in these video games, we would try to create our own world or replicate something in real life. For example, we'd sometimes try to build like famous landmarks throughout the world, or just different objects that look cool to us, or sometimes even my friends would watch different YouTubers online play Minecraft and would create ideas based off of what they witnessed in those videos. And this allowed us to collaborate and work together towards one goal. We would all try and work together to create something that we all enjoyed and that would be rewarding in the end. But as we were only 12 years old at the time, we always, I wouldn't say always, but most of the time we had one person, at least one person, who would try to mess up our plans. A lot of the times in the game, TNT is very common, where you would blow up different structures and other members wouldn't listen to directions, and this would ultimately hurt our end goal, but it just made the experience more rewarding and memorable for today.
When I first started playing the game just yesterday, a sense of great nostalgia overwhelmed me as I heard the opening music again for the first time in years. I jumped right in and created a survival game, and I was transported into a forest world and explored the environment around me. And as I was playing, I used a bit of probing in order to create items because I'd forgotten much of how to create items in the game.
So for me, it brought back many different memories of specific things that I built with my friends. I haven't played the game in a while, so I forgot my account information, so luckily Winslow helped me out and I jumped back into Winslow's world. But some things on Winslow's world that were similar to things that I did in my world were building different tunnels underground and different ways of moving throughout the game. For example, like railroad tracks would allow for a lot easier movement throughout the game. And one thing Winslow did in his game, he was explaining, was he built dream houses. And in my game, instead of building dream houses, we just built different landmarks that were really cool. For example, the Eiffel Tower was a really popular one we did.
So Michael, what's changed now versus then?
So it's been about 6 years since I last jumped into the world of Minecraft, and a lot has changed since. I've grown as a person, and I think after playing the game Minecraft and having a lot of other experiences in my life, I developed a lot of different skills while playing the game Minecraft that has allowed me to be successful. For example, I've learned how important it is to try new ideas, and this ties back to the idea of probing, which we spoke about earlier. And I think it also taught me how important it is to take risks in the game. Even though something, we have all these great ideas and they could be really crazy and seem unreasonable, but why not give it a try and see if you can turn your dreams into reality? Throughout the game, there was also a lot of collaboration and teamwork amongst me and my friends. And that's something that I've definitely grown on since. I used to be a really shy person, and I think working on this game with my friends allowed me to kind of break out of my shell a little bit. So Winslow, what hasn't changed for you in the game?
Even though I'm older, I still retain a childish sense of wonder in exploration and like creation. And I think that speaks to more of like the creative aspect of Minecraft and how no matter how old you are or how long it's been since you played the game or how often you play, it'll still bring out your creativity. While most other games die out within the decade that Minecraft has been released, Minecraft still continues to be a popular game because it's an escape from reality and allows a player near infinite freedom and opportunities. It also encourages collaboration and has affected both of us in positive ways.
So one way that Minecraft has affected both of us positively is that it has definitely shaped our thinking for the better and allowed us to be more open-minded. It also brought back many memories of the different values that we used to have and allowed us to reflect on things that have changed since then. So I think the game today is very successful because of the creativity aspect, in that our ideas today as we grow as people are more intense and more specific. And as the times change, we're able to create new things and make them relevant to the current state. And although the game largely encourages collaboration, on the other hand, it also encourages a lot of competition. For example, Winslow described in the opening scene the Hunger Games mod, and it just allows for people to find a perfect balance if they want to just hop on and play for fun in a more casual way, or if they're trying to see who's better and who could survive until the end.
Minecraft has shaped us and many others throughout the world to embrace our creative minds. It's offered collaboration and friendship that has carried with us to this day. And for anyone listening out there, I hope they know that even with the stress of work or with school or whatever, it's helpful to sometimes relive and reflect on the games that have shaped not only your childhood, but your life.
Just like Winslow and I did, we hope you guys learned something too. Thank you all for listening.